Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo.
We are live from the Eurodam Holland America Good News Cruise 2026. Woohoo! Yesterday we had such a treat in Andre Bocelli concert. It was incredible. Next week we'll play some bumper music from that. We couldn't turn it around quick enough here on the cruise, but we'll play some of the music during the show next week. And we also heard Jonathan Rumi took to the stage to give us a preview talk of the new movie he has out with Kevin James, Solo Mio. We saw it yesterday. I really thought I was going to go to the theater and there's like going to be nobody there because it was 11 o'clock at night and I thought everybody was going to be asleep. And the theater was packed. People had to go back to their rooms because there was not enough places for people to see sit. So it was wonderful, though. What a great movie. It was a lot of fun to watch, and I really encourage you to go to the theaters and see that. Today on Epiphany, we'll be talking with Deacon Burke Sivers. Will be here with us. He's one of the keynote speakers. He has a huge following. He's been to the Chaldean Community Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center for our men's conference. I've seen him speak in person. I've seen him speak on all the social media platforms and on YouTube. It's a wonderful treat to have him here on Epiphany and talking with him about Catholic families, the model for a culture of love and life. And I also want to talk to Deacon about the conversations he's just having on the cruise ship with people and the couples here and what he's learning and gleaning from them and in his own faith journey and how the cruise is impacting his own faith journey. So Deacon Burke Sivers will be with us, known around the world as the Dynamic Deacon, one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today. He's a powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher whose no-nonsense approach to living and proclaiming the Catholic faith will challenge and inspire those who hear him. He is the host of several series on EW10, including Beacon of Truth, and is the author of several books, including Our Life of Service, The Handbook of Catholic Deacons, Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality, and Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. So we'll be talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers here on Epiphany. And then my longtime friend Chuck Gatakal will be here with us. He is one of the master of ceremonies here on the Good News Cruise. And Chuck is hosting a series behind the curtain interviews with speakers. So they're kind of surprise interviews here on stage at the Good News Cruise. Chuck is an author, keynote speaker, podcast, and radio host. Many people may know him from Chuck, from his national and local radio and television work in Michigan spanning over four decades. He has multiple Emmy Awards and was awarded the prestigious Silver Circle Award for Broadcast Excellence by National Academy of Television and Arts and Sciences. After retiring from full-time television news and radio, Chuck served on staff at two churches before returning to the Catholic Church. He also worked as a leader of various efforts to bring business, media, churches, and nonprofits together as forces for good. So Chuck Gatakal will be with us live here on Epiphany from the Good News Cruise. Now, we're hoping our listeners back home, I know it's a little colder than what we're experiencing here, but I hope you're journeying with us, and we're bringing you these interviews so you can kind of journey with us at this conference and sharing these wonderful talks that the speakers are sharing with us here on the cruise. So we got to take a break here live on Epiphany. We'll be right back with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Don't go away. Andre Bocelli, we heard him live right here from the Good News Cruise. Deacon Burke Sivers, did you love that? Was that not
awesome.
Amazing?
Yeah, you know, I love music. People that know my story know how much I love music. I was a musician. My father was a professional musician. So all of us kids growing up, we all played instruments and sing. And so I played guitar in a jazz band in college. I played an R&B band. I played on a couple of my father's records. And I love all kinds of music. And and lately, over the past several years, I've been getting into more of opera, particularly arias like Pavarotti was just, it just blows me away. So that's helped me to appreciate, the genre more.
Amen to that. You know, I was thinking, too, I minister strengths which measures your talents, shows you where your natural talents are. And I also am trained to administer the called and gifted, so your charisms are, right? And so we have natural talents, but they're not necessarily charisms, right? Mm-hmm. Our charisms are different, blessed to us by the Holy Spirit. When I was listening to Andre Bocelli yesterday, I thought, this is not only a talent, this is truly a charism, because when I listen to him, I'm moved. I feel the Holy Spirit is moving me. Like, it's almost like a prayer. Can you kind of speak to that, how music and your experience can also be prayerful?
Yeah, you know, on the show that I have on EW10, Beacon of Truth, Ace and I, well, Ace is a professional musician, so we incorporate music a lot.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You know, I've discovered recently that there's a number of high school and college age students that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, I said, really? I'm happy about.
Yeah, I know.
Because
it's
a vehicle for evangelization, but it's the music that draws them in.
Yeah.
You see,
they
hear us talking about music. Oh, that's something they're interested in.
Yeah.
And now we make the connection between faith and life, and faith and music, and faith and everyday lived experience, and we make those connections. And so, yeah, music is a very important way to draw people into the story.
Yeah,
you know, draw people into the story. And that's why we have music at Mass.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's very important to have music that allows all of us to participate in a way.
Sure,
you know, in a very dynamic way, because the Second Vatican Council talked about active participation in the Mass. Didn't use the normal word we would associate with active, which is activa, which means everybody does everything.
Yeah.
They used another word called actuositatem, which is a deeper, richer, inner participation.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And John Paul II said one of the ways we can foster that kind of participation is silence. Mm. So we have the beautiful dynamic of we have the music and we have the silence. It's just a wonderful balance in the liturgy.
I love that too. And you know, to your point too, Deacon, you can use music to reach people where they're at on their own faith journey.
Yes.
It's the music that draws them in, but then they're fed by the word. And then they start listening to the homily. And then they start paying attention to the scripture and like, wow, the Lord is really speaking to me through the music, through the word, and through everything that's going on here at church. But you're meeting them where they're at on their own faith journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about music. And it also allows you to connect with other people, too, because that's a point of convergence. It's a connecting point with people.
Yeah.
One of the things that's very popular on our show, we have called a Beacon of Truth playlist.
Yeah. Oh,
and we'll play songs like Stairway to Heaven. We can't play the song, but we say the lyric because we can't. You know,
excuse me, copyright.
But we the lyrics and we connect songs to the faith. So when they listen to, I know that song, but I never made that connection.
Yeah,
you know, we're not trying to reinterpret the song. Like, this is what the artist really meant. But we say, how can we take a song and show connections with our faith? And so people constantly send emails. I never thought about that. Now when I hear that song.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about it differently.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the kinds of nexuses like create for people.
Yeah, so last night when Andre Bocelli was singing Amazing Grace, I closed my eyes.
Oh.
I didn't want any other senses involved, but I just wanted to hear the words and the way he sang it and his rendition of it and how the Lord speaks to us, because have we not all been lost at one point, right?
Absolutely.
And the Lord finds us. It's through Christ that we are found. And so music can move us in a direction that we didn't even know the Lord was taking us. You know what I mean? And showing us, we may be lost at some point in our life, but we're lost in different ways. Something else is stealing us from Christ, right?
Yeah,
Something in the culture. And it's like, okay, where did I get lost along the way? And how did God find me? Through who? You know? And so I had to close my eyes and just listen to that song and just kind of run through my own life of where I've been lost and how the Lord finds me back, right?
Yeah. And we talk about when you get lost, what do you do now? It's interesting. I got the Holy Spirit's working now, because you just because think about it. You were so right about getting lost.
Yeah.
But here's the trick. A lot of people think, well, there's no way I can get lost because I got a GPS. How can you get lost if you have a GPS? That may work in your car when you're trying to get someplace, but it won't work getting to heaven.
Yeah, amen to that. No.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can easily get lost because there's so many things in the culture that are vying for our attention. that draw our attention away from what St. Thomas Aquinas called the summum bonum, or the greatest good, our ultimate end, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ and it's spending eternity with him.
Yeah, amen.
So we can get lost. Ain't no GPS in the world going to help get us back on track. No physical GPS, no technology.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So we get lost, we get sidetracked, and then, you know, our hearts have to turn back. That's where we have that metanoia, conversion, or shuv in Hebrew. It means literally to turn your mind around.
Yeah.
You know, so and so music can be a way of starting that turn back toward the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, that speaks to ministry too, Deacon Burke Sivers, because you have a wonderful men's ministry that you do. I know a lot of men bring you into their talks, right? And you can communicate in a way that women may not relate to. Same with women's ministry. And we're talking here on the Good News Cruise, there's all kinds of speakers, and Deacon Burke and I were talking about, well, you know, we're competing against Father Mike Schmitz right now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, okay, we're competing. That's not it. So in ministry, right, you get nervous. Anybody going to show up to my talk? Father Patrick Setu was talking about that earlier. Is anybody going to show up? I'm not Father Mike Schmitz, and, you know, I'm not, you know, Jonathan Rumi. I'm not Andre Bocelli. But there's no really competition in ministry, really. We're all just trying to get back home.
Yeah.
We're all trying to take as many people with us. And God is not up there with a scorecard saying, well, you know, Vanessa, Deacon Burke Sivers bought about 1 million people and you brought 10. So I don't know about this. You know what I mean? It's like, I did the best I could. You're doing the best you can. And we're all trying to meet people where they're at in their faith journey, but we're all called to bring people with us.
Yeah,
we're all called to evangelize the faith. Can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, so every single person. Now, we talked a little bit about charisms before, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
In baptisms, we receive the charism of priest, prophet, and king, right? And so we mean priest. The priesthood of all believers is called, right?
Yeah.
So every single person is called to be a priest, and the main job of a priest is to offer sacrifice. So our life becomes a living sacrifice acceptable to God, right? By the witness of our life. Prophet is someone who's authorized to speak the word of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so a prophet, you think Old Testament prophet is not about telling the future.
Yeah.
Now, there were some prophets and some of the prophets that told a little bit about the future, but most of it was about calling out and indicting the Israelites now because of their unfaithfulness to God.
Yeah.
Right? And then the king is the one who serves. Right? So all of us have those charisms. And so when it comes to evangelization, we are all called to be prophetic.
Yeah.
No, not to the future, but how do we help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ? And that has to start with sharing our own stories, which we have often been horrible about as Catholics.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we don't want to share. We don't want to share our story. We want to share our witness.
Well, what stops us from doing
it? Well, a couple things. I think the biggest inhibitor is fear.
Yeah.
You know, First John 4:19 says that perfect love casts out all fear. We have to be, we have to love more than be afraid. And I think some of the greatest ideas in human history are in cemeteries.
Wow.
What do I mean by that?
Okay.
God gave this person an inspiration. God gave this person a story.
Yeah.
And God wants us to share this story, but we're so afraid. What is this person going to think? What if I fail?
Yeah.
You know, what if they don't like me?
Yeah.
And we get so wrapped up in the thoughts of failure that we never bring to fruition God's plan. And so we take it with us to the grave. Now, God has to figure, okay, well, that didn't work. I have to figure out another way to make this work.
Yeah.
You know, we have to overcome. Because if I would have came into the fear, I would not be doing what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid to leave my secular career to speak in the right full time.
Yeah.
And I was convincing myself, well, I'm not going to make enough money. I got a family to take care of. How am I going to do this talking about Jesus? You know, get someone else, Lord. And I was just trying to push him away. It's actually my spouse whose love filled in when my love was weak. Her love filled in the gap. Mm-hmm. And it was the her strength with her love that helped me make the decision to leave that behind it and to follow Jesus. And it's the best decision I've ever
made.
Amen.
I know we all feel vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even here, you know, I have a book out, and is it going to do well? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's coming out in September. Are people going to come to my talk tomorrow? I don't know. But you trust in God, right?
Yep.
That my prayer is, Lord, give me the words you know other people need to hear. Lord, let people buy the book that you know need to read the book. Lord, let me say the words and let the people who come to my talk need to hear what I have to say through you. And that's the trust, right? And stop trusting in our own selves, but really trusting in Him with the gifts He gave us. So part of my talk, too, and I want to ask you this. I know you're in ministry, and you were in the secular world. You were in the secular business. But what I'm focusing on is, how do we take our faith to work with us everywhere we go? And not just what we get paid to do, Deacon. Our work is everything. Marriage is work. Parenting is work. Volunteer work is work. How do we carry Jesus with every job that we have in life? How do we show up, right? We show up with our charisms. We show up with our talents. We show up with our wounds. We show up with our weaknesses. But that's carrying Jesus with us. So can you speak to us? How can we, regardless of what we do in life, take our faith with us everywhere we go? How do we weave that into every aspect and not put God in a compartment?
Yeah. We have to understand that work, ultimately, is a participation in the salvific mission of Christ.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what work is.
Yeah.
So it's not just get up and do this every day. It's how am I participating in using the gifts or the talents or the charisma that God has given me? How can I use that to help bring the kingdom? Mm. Right? Because ultimately the kingdom is within each of us. I mean, God's going to come at the end of the world and bring the kingdom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But here on earth, we participate in that salvific work of Christ by helping to bring the kingdom into the lives of others.
Yeah,
you know, and so we have to weave that to every aspect of what we do. So, for example, at work, you know, it may be challenging, you know, especially in this culture, you know, I have to go to the DIE training and whatever. And so, oh my goodness, they're talking about all this stuff that has really nothing to do with my faith and all that kind of stuff. Okay, you know, and if you don't go to this thing, you're going to lose your job or whatever, you know, so you bite the bullet, you go, but then you have to think, okay. What does that look like in my everyday
life.
Lived experience?
Yeah.
You know? Okay, I went to the training, fine. So when a challenge comes, you know, you call on the Lord to help you to deal with that particular challenge at that particular time. For example, at work they make me put during the month of June, I have to put a rainbow flag on my desk. Like, what do I do about that?
Yeah.
I said, you know, Well, Deacon, it's Pride Month, and we're going to show our solidarity. I said, well, you know what? I don't need a month to do that. I treat every single person with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
I don't need a month or this month or that month. I do it all the time, constantly. So, you can take your flag because I treat every single person with the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Amen.
And I don't need a month or a flag to show that. I just do that all the time.
Yeah. So I had a client that actually, in the coaching work I do, she was struggling because they were insisting that she take a picture every day with them for Pride Month in June and show it on social media. And she was saying the same thing. She goes, I treat everybody with respect every day. I don't need to be on social media, posting every single day. But it is the challenge. But you have to also have the courage to stand up for truth.
Yes.
You know, and you have to be grounded in faith. And what's happening in the world today, in terms of the culture, Deacon, is that we have an identity crisis in the world today. People don't know who they are. And that's what I love about the work I do as a coach. I help people discover their natural talents and their charisms so they know how God created them to be. We're all made in His likeness and image, but uniquely made. God gave me talents, gave you charisms, me charisms, everybody here. We all have them. But are we showing up with them?
Yes.
And if you don't know yourself, it's because you don't know the Creator. Know Him first, you'll know who you are and how He created you to be. So we have an identity crisis in the world, and especially among young people. Can you kind of speak to that?
Yeah, what you said is so absolutely critically important. The problem is that young people are allowing the culture to define them.
Yeah.
You know, my lifestyle choice decisions, who I am in a relationship with, that defines who I am. You know, and so you have social constructs and radical individualism and things like critical race theory and all of this stuff that it comes from the outside in.
Yeah.
No,
Our identity is from the inside out.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, the identity is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a dynamic relationship with the living God that defines who I am.
Yeah.
And so that comes from the inside and radiates outward. All the other stuff is outside trying to come in.
Yeah.
No, it's from the inside trying to go out.
Yeah.
So we have to recognize our identity is not defined by anything that this culture has to say. You know, Jesus didn't come so his teaching could be changed by the culture. Jesus came to transform the culture with his truth.
Yeah.
Right? John 4:16. I am the way.
Yeah.
The truth and the life. Not a truth, the truth.
Yeah.
And the life. That is what defines who we are.
Yeah.
And then your talents, your charisms, your gifts radiate that love and radiate that relationship into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we begin to change the culture.
Exactly. How we show up. I have a book called Conversations That Create the Culture. How we communicate Christ-centered will change the culture in which we live and work. That's how we change the world. It starts with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always tell them, I have a teenage daughter, and I say, you know, you're not trying to be the best version of the girl on TikTok. You're trying to be the best version God created you to be. And St. Catherine of Siena says, be who God created you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. Can you imagine the difference we can make in the world if we all understood who we are, made in his likeness and image, but yet uniquely made? And then what do? We're on the Good News Cruise. We bring ourselves to the marriage, right? We bring our gifts, our talents, our brokenness, our wounds. Everything comes with us. But if we're not centered in that, the chaos we create in our own relationships, too. So it's not just a culture out there. It's the culture in our homes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You have two people from very divergent backgrounds often that come together and they form one. Right?
Yeah.
They form this community.
Yeah.
And you have to recognize, I'm bringing stuff into this relationship. You know, and to recognize that. Because, you know, usually you have the veneer that covers, because everybody's trying to make everybody happy and make a great impression.
Yeah.
But then once you get down, that's why I'm a proponent of dating for a long time.
Mm.
You know, it takes a while to get through all that stuff to really get to know who this person is. You know, I give you an example. When I was still active in the parish, regularly in the parish, I was doing marriage prep. And a young lady who I'd known, because I was a police chief on a college campus for 11 years. So she got to know me in my capacity there. And so she was getting engaged and contacted me about, can you do marriage prep? I said, sure. And so she comes with the young man. And about, you know, it's usually 10 weeks with me. About halfway through, I get to the theology of the body. And as soon as we start talking about that, I see the young man squirming in his chair, looking very uncomfortable. Now, I was a cop for a long time,
and
a detective, so I said, this guy's got something going on.
Yeah.
And so she got up to go to the bathroom,
uh-huh.
And when she was gone, I said, okay, man, what's going on? What do you mean? I said, how much porn are you looking at? And he went, whoop. He just said, what are you talking about? I said, look, you may be able to fool her. You ain't going to fool me.
Yeah.
You know, tell me what's going on before she gets back.
Yeah.
And so he was very reluctant, but very sheepishly talked about the problems that he had. And I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not over the air. I'm not going to explain exactly what's going on.
But we get it. Yeah.
And so she came back. We finished the session. And then I told her to call me, you know, sometime this week. So she called me and, Deacon, what's going on? I said, you need to find someone else to marry.
Wow.
And she did not expect to hear that.
Wow.
She goes, what? And she's just shocked. She started crying and said, talk to him.
Wow.
Talk to him. And if I'm wrong, call me back.
Yeah.
And
wow, Deacon.
I mean, you know, so we that's why I think really getting to know someone. And here's the thing. In Hebrew, there's two different words for knowing. There's da'ath, which is factual knowledge, but there's yalda, which is knowledge that is gained by experience.
Mm.
You have to experience someone in order to know them.
Sure.
So we should be in a relationship long enough to experience that person to see, is this the person my parents can respect? Is this a person that's going to help take me to heaven? Is this a person that my children can really look up to?
Yeah.
Is this someone that emulates the characteristics of God so we can build a strong foundation for our family that will lead our children to God?
Mm.
These are things you need to be thinking of before you enter into that relationship.
Yeah, that's such a great point. When my dad died 20-some years ago, I remember praying, Lord, just bring me a man in my life who's going to love my children as much as my dad loved me.
I want him.
I have a wonderful husband. God bless us with one daughter, but he's an awesome dad. But knowing that person too, I remember my sister said to me, I'm very, really particular if you're not on time. I go crazy. If you're 15 minutes late, if you're on time, you're late in my book, okay? And my sister, I have six sisters and they know this about me. And the first thing my older sister said to me, is he an on-time person? And I said, no, actually, he's late for everything. She goes, oh, you're probably going to end up in divorce. Because I knew how stickler I am. But that's so true, you know? And then I remember we got married a couple of years in our marriage. He'd hear me on the phone talking to my sisters. And one day he goes, you and your sisters are so mean to each other. I'm like, no, we're not. And I go, he goes, you're always arguing. I go, yeah, but we're out shopping 5 minutes later and we're out to lunch. The way we communicate is so different than my in-laws communicate. We're loud and we just say whatever is on our mind and we get each other. My in-laws are very, very strategic in their communications. They're very, they think everything through before they say. We don't always do that in my family, but that's the point. You have to know how each other operates, you know, and it does affect the marriage. So what are some of the things that you're talking with couples? We have a couple of minutes here, walking around the ship here, Deacon. What are some of the conversations you're having with couples here?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I thought, anticipating coming on the cruise, that couples want to talk to me about what's going on in their relationship. But the vast majority wants to talk about their kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine.
Yeah.
A lot of couples are kind of blaming themselves because their kids are away from the church. If only we had done this. If only we had done that.
Yeah.
And I tell them, you got to understand, what our job is to lay a foundation in our children's lives. Not to build the house of their lives with and for them. Mm-hmm. Why do I say that? Psalm 127, the only psalm written by Solomon, says, if the Lord does not build the house, in vain do the builders labor. So God builds the house of our children's lives with them and for them. Our job is to lay a foundation upon which the house of the Lord will stand strong and firm. But because we bring in our own different things into relationships, sometimes that doesn't go very well, you know? So what we have to be able to do is stand before God and say, Lord, I wasn't perfect, we weren't perfect, but, you know, we did the best that we could.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the children have to make their own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And
they
can't be responsible for their decisions. But but what we can do is lay as strong a foundation as we can, and that strong foundation comes from our witness to the faith for them. They need to see what God's love actually looks like.
Yeah.
So it's not so much catechesis and drilling catechesis into them.
Yeah.
It's by seeing the witness. But wow, you know how many young people tell me they don't know how much God loves them?
Yeah.
They don't know God's love.
Well, that goes back to the identity issue too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's why they go look for the culture.
Yes.
And they go to TikTok because they don't know God loves them. So they said, well, God may not love me, but the guy on TikTok, the followers on TikTok love me.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening. I could talk to you for hours. I want to bring you back on when we get back home. I want to elaborate more on that conversation about our kids, you know, and our identity. And I have to tell you, I really credit my own father to my faith. My father didn't preach the faith. He wasn't an educated man. He was a store owner, didn't go to college, barely finished high school. But my father lived the faith, and I really credit him. We had the Ten Commandments in our foyer. I read them. He went to daily mass. Those are the things I saw him, reading the Bible, praying every day, going to daily mass. Those were the seeds that were planted. He wasn't preaching to us. He just lived it. And sometimes we just have to see, our kids just have to see us living the faith every day.
For me, it was my mom. So my father wasn't a person of faith at all, but my mom was the first Catholic in our family. And I remember, she was a cardiac care nurse, going to work with runs in her stockings and holes in her shoes because we needed stuff. So I saw the meaning of sacrifice.
Yeah.
I saw the meaning of gift, of self-gift by the witness of my mom.
Amen. You got to come back. We got to have a whole other conversation about parenting. Deacon Berksilver, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for being with me. Pray for my talk here for
Absolutely,
me. Will you do that
I
for
will.
Me?
Absolutely,
thank you so much.
I will.
Thank you for all that you do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Chuck Gatico will be with us. Stay with us, everyone.